The letter of James is the focus of our fall preaching series, putting the pieces together, puzzling out what it means to be church. Again and again throughout this series, we are discovering that for James, being the church and living out our faith go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. According to James, if we're not putting our faith into action, then the church might as well not even exist. Because the church isn't a place where we escape from the world just to talk about our faith. It's the place where we learn how to live our faith out in the world. James is helping us put the pieces together so that we can puzzle out what it means to be church in the world today. The first piece we put into the puzzle a couple weeks ago reminded us that we are called to be a blessing. And then last week's piece reminded us that we are called to make a difference. Today's piece will remind us of this. We are also called to speak with love. Now, today's scripture reading is something of a doozy. It's about the power of the tongue, the power of the words we use. And it starts out like this. Not many of you should become teachers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And so a whole bunch of you might be thinking, phew, I sure didn't become a teacher, so I am all good with this, totally off the hook. But it seems strange that James would have included a whole section in his letter that applied only to a small number of people who claim the vocation of teaching. If James is concerned about what it means to be church, maybe he's working with a broader understanding of what it means to be a teacher. So what if we think about teaching not in a classroom setting, but in a church? And what if we think about learning not as taking in a body of knowledge, but as living out the practice of our faith? If we think of it that way, then who are our teachers? Our parents who model their faith for their children, are they teachers? Our mentors who guide us in our faith, are they teachers? Our children who show us the innocence of faith, can they be our teachers too? And what about our spiritual friends who walk with us on our journeys of faith? Aren't they teachers too? As we hear today's reading from James, it's important to remember that in a community of faith, all of us are teachers. And when we are living out our faith in the world, all of us are teaching something about what it means to be Christians. So all of us need to remember our call to speak with love. Let's listen now for the word of God in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. He says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth the same opening, both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I saw a video a couple of years ago now, and in the video, students were asked to share a few words they would use to describe themselves. The first student to offer her response was a young woman, and she didn't hesitate. She held up her hand and quickly ticked off a list: dumb, ugly, awkward. Next to respond was a young man. He was a bit fidgety as he gave his list. He said, depressing, a bit lonely, and well, not really the best looking. And one girl just looked away from the camera in embarrassment. She didn't seem to know what to say. Then those same students were told that the video producers had asked some of their classmates to describe them, and they were going to watch what their classmates had to say. You could see it seemed like they were bracing themselves for the worst. That young woman who described herself as dumb, ugly, and awkward, her classmates said this: she's extremely talented. She's really good at making people feel better. She's such a sweet, kind person. I think we need more people like her who are excited and out there and willing to put themselves on the line. And how about the young man who described himself as depressing, a bit lonely, and not the best looking? His classmate said he's very considerate. He's compassionate for people. He's really good at sharing ideas. He's one to quickly make jokes. He knows how to lighten things up. And the young woman who couldn't figure out what to say about herself, tears came to her eyes as she heard her classmates say she's gentle and has an amazing personality. She's just so kind. The video then ends with two statements on the screen, one right after the other. The first, "Your words are powerful." And then, "Use them for good." Your words are powerful. Use them for good. I think James would agree. And friends, that is the opportunity and the challenge for us as Christians, as we are living out our faith in the world. Our words are powerful, and we need to choose to use them for good. Now, so often the words we use to describe ourselves, we know how critical and unkind those words can be. We're so much harder on ourselves than anyone else ever would be. So we all need people around us who will remind us that we are beautiful even when we don't quite feel like it. We need people who will see the good in us even when we can't quite see it. We need people who will love us even when we can't figure out how to love ourselves. We all need those kinds of people in our lives, and we are grateful for the people we can count on to speak love to us. But friends, here is the opportunity and the challenge. Everyone you meet along the way needs those kind of people in their lives too. And you might be just the person they need to speak love to them. Our words are powerful. And as Christians, we need to choose to use them for good. We need to use our words to speak goodness and love into this world, because this is a world that is filled with so much criticism and division. We need to use our words to call forth justice and peace from a world that is too often focused on oppression and violence. We need to use our words to build up the dignity of all people in a world that is too often focused on tearing people down. Words are such powerful things. And we as Christians, we can use our words to accomplish incredible good if we choose. And as James would remind us, there is a lot at stake here. The truth of the gospel depends on us and how we choose to live our lives, because with every choice we make, we are teaching others what it means to be a Christian. Every time we choose to be a blessing, we are showing the world the good news of our faith. Every time we choose to make a difference, we are showing the world there is power in the gospel. Every time we choose to speak with love, we are showing the world that our faith matters. James's reminder about the power of our words is even more important today. Back when James wrote his letter, he could never have imagined the kind of world we live in today. A world with a 24-hour news cycle, a world with sound bites and tweets, a world with Facebook posts and Snapchat conversations and TikTok videos, a world in which our words travel farther and faster than ever before. When you combine this with the feeling of anonymity that so often comes when we interact with each other from behind our screens. That combination can be so dangerous. Small sparks of unkind words can set relationships ablaze. Today, more than ever before, we need to remember the words we choose matter. The words we choose to say and write and text and email and post online, every single one of the words we choose matters. And so I'm grateful that today we hear the reminder to speak with love, along with the invitation to come to the table of the Lord. Because it is at the communion table where we are reminded of the primary language God uses to speak to us. And that is the language of love. It is God's love that calls us here, whether our tongues are tamed or not. It is God's love that reminds us we are beautiful and good, whether we feel that way or not. It is God's love that says, eat this bread and drink this cup, whether we feel worthy or not. It is God's love that heals us and makes us whole, that fills us and sets us free. It is God's love that claims us and then calls us to be the church for a world that needs to see how much our faith matters. May the language of love we hear in this place be so powerful that it echoes through every word we speak, to every person we meet, in every place we go. Amen.